Hi everyone, my name is Andra Stanoyo and you're listening to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio and Podcast. Today we're addressing an important subject that doesn't get enough attention, men's mental health. Mental health is a vital part of everyone's well-being, but statistics show that men are often less likely to seek help. In fact, according to recent data, men are 3 to 4 times more likely to die by suicide than women, and about 1 in 8 men experience symptoms of mental health disorders like anxiety and depression each year. And yet the stigma surrounding men and men's mental health persists, leaving many struggling in silence. Our mission today is to break down those barriers and start a conversation that could help save lives. I'm honored to have Dr. Belinda Walia with us today, a renowned psychotherapist and author of Fix Me, How to Manage Anxiety and Take Control of Your Life. Dr. Walia is here to share her insights on mental health, especially men's mental health, offering strategies for awareness, support, and practical solutions. Hi, Dr. Walia. Welcome to the Healthy Debate Show.
Thank you, Andrea. Hi. I hope you're well. I've been on your guest several times now and discussing different topics. And each time I know I'm invited back, I get very excited.
Well, we are very excited to have you here. And with your permission, I'm going to call you Belinda because I know this is your preferred way of being approached. Well, I know you've been on our show multiple times, but I still want you, if possible, to share a few things about your work, your current focus, some of your passions that lie in helping people, and especially, you know, some of your experiences with men's mental health.
Yes, no, sure. So I've worked with people for over 20 years in this profession as a psychotherapist. And each time I come across different cases, every case is unique. And focusing on men's mental health is so important. And honestly, I'm so glad we're having this conversation today.
Well, in your experience working with male clients, I know you also have some very clear views on cultural factors and societal factors. So in this particular context, do you think men tend to shy away from seeking mental health support? Do you think there are any societal or cultural factors that play into this?
Definitely. I mean, if we look at men's mental health overall, they often do avoid seeking mental health support because society has long linked masculinity with traits like strength, independence, and emotional control. And many men feel pressured to live up to these expectations, making it difficult to admit when they're struggling. And from a very young age, boys are often told to be tough or man up and not to cry, which teaches them to hide their emotions and deal with problems in their own way. And as adults, they may fear being judged or seen as weak if they open up about their feelings. And in some communities, if we talk about culture, I have heard men are taught, they're not even taught what emotions are. They lack emotional regulation, and lacking emotional regulation means struggling to manage and control emotional responses in a healthy way, often leading to impulsive reactions and prolonged distress or avoidance of emotions altogether. And this can result in intense feelings like anger, sadness, or anxiety that feel overwhelming or out of proportion to the situation. And also culturally, if in some communities there's an added stigma attached to mental health issues, with people seeing them as a personal failure or something to be ashamed of. I know this to be true within a lot of Asian communities, and this can be especially strong in environments where men are expected to be providers or protectors. And they may also worry about being misunderstood or dismissed, even by friends or family. And all of this creates an environment where men are more likely to suppress their struggles, delay seeking help, and even it can turn to unhealthy coping mechanisms. So it's really quite distressing to come across such cases and facts about men, Andra.
Do you think shame has a role to play in this? When young, let's just say we have a little boy that's trying to express his feelings of frustration, of anger, right? Because if you're 2 years old, of course you're going to be frustrated if someone takes your toy or if someone doesn't play with you. So probably cry will be the most, normal reaction you can have. But then there's the shaming around, you know, boys don't cry. Do you think shame has something to play in this in the long term? Do you think it goes beyond, it transitions beyond childhood into adulthood?
Yes, definitely. Because, of course, if you're not taught about the emotional regulation, then and you don't know how to process it, you can't recognize your own feelings. And this is the main issue, which is a very unique challenge, because a lot of men tend to express mental health issues differently. We know this, but instead of openly talking about sadness or worry, they may experience physical symptoms like headaches, fatigue, or digestive problems, and they're not recognizing that irritability or withdrawing from situations or society, it's got to do with their emotions because they've not been taught it. And because of these signs of the emotions are less obvious than verbal expressions or distress, their struggles often go unnoticed until the situation becomes severe. And I find in a lot of cases that I've worked with, men face these barriers in recognizing their own feelings, and many haven't been taught how to identify or label those emotions, making it harder to understand what they're actually going through. I don't know if you've come across this yourself, but of course, let's just take, for example, later in life. I know that some of the cases that I've come across where men after 40, for instance, they go through andropause, but because it's never been taught to them, never been exposed to them, and andropause is the male menopause. It's a phase in a man's life, typically occurring in their 40s to 60s. It's characterized by a gradual decline in testosterone levels, and while it's a biological process, it's often comes with emotional and psychological symptoms such as irritability, low mood, anxiety, and loss of confidence. And because they've never been exposed to it, nobody talks about it, even in their youth, and I'm talking about clients that I've worked with in their 40s and above, they shudder at the thought of a male menopause. No, that doesn't happen to us. It only happens to women. And they, it's not discussed, and men can't possibly go through emotions like that. They don't go through emotional struggles, and they can't link it in any way whatsoever. And the only way they can link it is with the stereotypical labels that they've been brought up with in childhood. And you see, and these kind of things really impact men. There's so many factors that impact their lack of awareness. I feel that this lack of awareness can delay them from seeking medical advice, from therapy or other forms of support, even through early intervention, whether through lifestyle adjustment, counseling, or medical treatments like the testosterone replacement therapy. They won't admit to certain things being related to their emotions.
I think it's a difficult decision to make, you know, the decision that you do need support and the decision that things do need to change, because it's hard work. You know, change doesn't come easy. It's incredibly uncomfortable. And it does take a lot of courage to say, well, I need to put a stop to it. I'm the only person who can actually do that, and maybe rely less on others, like partners or family, and actually take control over this this element of your life. It's a difficult decision to make, but certainly one that it has all the value in the world if you get to that point of self-awareness, because you were mentioning around self-awareness. Belinda, what are some of the most common mental health issues men face these days?
I would say the most common mental health issues in men is basically a lot of men experience issues like stress and depression. Men may experience depression, but they often present, well, I would say it often presents itself differently, much differently in women than it does men, because the symptoms might include irritability and anger and fatigue and difficulty concentrating. And men may also engage in risky behaviors of substance abuse as a way of coping with those feelings. And not many men recognize that depression. We are helping people to become more aware, and hence why we're doing this, recording today. But another common, I would say, symptom is probably anxiety disorders, where they suffer various anxiety disorders, including generalized anxiety disorders, panic disorders, and social anxiety disorders, and excessive worry, restlessness. As I mentioned earlier, the substance use disorders, men are statistically more likely to engage in substance abuse, including alcohol and drugs, and helping. This is their way of coping and with underlying mental health issues. There's post-traumatic stress disorder, which is another common symptom. Men can develop PTSD after experiencing or witnessing traumatic events such as combat and accidents and flashbacks of violence or things like that. I would say also I've come across bipolar disorders, which, as we know, men diagnosed with bipolar disorders are characterized by extreme mood swings ranging from manic highs to depressive lows. And then there's compulsive disorders, OCD, which is another common symptom that I've come across within men. And eating disorders, well, it's often associated with women. We've come across that. A lot of women promote weight loss and things like that. Men can also struggle with eating disorders such as anorexia, bulimia, and binge eating disorders. And personality disorder is another one that is something I've come across. It's frequently diagnosed with, and this is something that people don't realize is common as well, the antisocial personality disorder, or one word that's been flying around a lot, narcissism. And that's really associated often with men, but it can be both men and women. And suicidal with thoughts and behaviors. I mean, they're the most common ones that I can think of that are issues men talk about.
Belinda, let's take a short commercial break. And once we're back, I would like us to discuss some of the information that you have about anxiety management, specifically in men, in your book, if you touch this subject separately. If not, maybe you can just give us some very general insights. So we'll be back with Dr. Belinda Walia shortly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Belinda Walia. We're discussing men's mental health. Belinda, tell us about your book, Fix Me, How to Manage Anxiety and Take Control of Your Life. How does it approach anxiety management specifically in men, for men, if it does specifically for men?
Thank you for mentioning my book. In Fix Me, I provide practical tools to help readers take control of their anxiety. And while it's written for anyone, it includes strategies that are particularly relevant for men, I would say, because men often feel pressured to ignore their anxiety, or as we talked about earlier, to tough it out. So the book starts by reframing anxiety, not as a weakness, but as a natural response to stress that can be managed and understood. And the book offers straightforward techniques like breathing exercises, mindfulness practices, and ways to challenge negative thoughts and those thought patterns. And for men, I focus on strategies that feel actionable and logical, and recognizing that many prefer structured solutions over abstract concepts. And I also address common triggers like work pressures, relationship dynamics, and the expectation to be strong, helping men understand the root causes of anxiety they experience. And I think Fix Me is unique because it emphasizes small, manageable steps rather than overwhelming changes. And it also includes real life examples and exercises to help men practice emotional awareness and build that resilience and create a healthier habits without feeling judged or pressured in any way.
Belinda, we hear a lot about the importance of emotional expression. What are some practical ways that men can start to express and process emotions, especially in environments that might not seem very supportive?
Emotional expression doesn't have to be dramatic or overwhelming. It can start with small, simple steps. And one of the most effective and practical ways that I know have worked for some of the clients I've worked with is journaling. And I write a lot personally, and this is probably why I suggest it to some of my clients. Writing down thoughts and feelings helps. You see, writing can help men organize their emotions privately without that fear of being judged. And I've come across this many a time where men may fear being judged or ridiculed from their peers or even family members when they express their emotions. And this fear can lead to reluctance to share feelings, resulting in those internalized emotions. So writing helps, you see, and writing can help men organize their emotions privately, as I said, and it can give them that clarification they need. Even writing a few lines about what's on their mind can make a big difference. And as most psychologists and neuroscientists know, this can change the prefrontal cortex. For instance, if you write the stressors down and switch them to solutions, 15 seconds of writing can change the prefrontal cortex and help you rewire your mind. And another practical method is engaging in physical activity. Exercise like running, swimming, or weightlifting can help release that built-up tension and provide a sense of relief. And some men find that activities like martial arts or boxing are particularly helpful for processing emotions like frustration or anger, which seems to be a very common trait and a symptom within men when they are stressed, because that processing of emotions not being taught to them, or the societal pressures that they may have, what if society expects of them, and those beliefs surrounding masculinity, which is something we spoke about earlier. So talking to trusted people in their family unit or friendship group, it helps. Deep conversations is so impactful. And you know, if you don't have to make it complicated, you don't have to go into the depth of the situation. Even if you start with "I've been feeling stressed lately," and pave the way for a more open discussion. And for those in unsupportive environments, I don't often suggest this, but sometimes it does help. Anonymous online forums or support groups can offer a safe space to share experiences and connect with others who understand. And creative outlets like playing music, drawing, or even cooking can also be an excellent way to express emotions directly or indirectly. The key is finding a method that feels comfortable and sustainable. And it helps a person shift and grow that awareness of self.
You made some really interesting points, Belinda, because I've heard quite often from men that the difficulty they're having is the communication. So they're not confident in speaking about their problems. So I think with your suggestions, it's nothing about talking. It's more about doing and achieving small things that bring you joy, bring you pleasure, and you get to release this energy and the emotions in a different way that's still very functional, but it doesn't take that much of an effort, or it kind of breaks the myth around how can someone support themselves to be better. So I think that that's a bit of a different approach to women, isn't it? Because women are more prone to talk, yes, whereas men are more prone to do stuff, to do things. And I think your suggestions are really practical and really helpful, hopefully, for anyone that's listening. And this doesn't have to be necessarily men. You know, women can support their partners by providing some sort of guidance or pointing them towards some resources like this conversation today to get them, you know, the right information, because at the end of the day, it just resumes to that, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So I know men are hesitant or might feel uncomfortable with also with traditional therapy. It's a bit of a controversial topic, isn't it? Even though we became much better after the COVID-19 pandemic. But still, the therapy is a bit of a taboo, or some other alternative forms of support and resources are still, hard to reach for some men. How would you introduce this idea of traditional therapy or maybe some alternative forms of support to someone who you see they're struggling?
I think for men who aren't ready for therapy, there are plenty of alternatives that can still provide meaningful support, such as support groups, whether online or in person. They're a great option, and these groups often feel less formal than therapy, and they provide a space to share experiences with others who can relate. Also, apps like Headspace or Calm offer guided meditations and stress relief exercises that can be done in private, making them a good starting point for those who want to explore mental wellness at their own pace. There are also apps like BetterHelp, which provide access to online counseling that may feel more approachable than face-to-face sessions. And of course, there's radio programs like this one that can also help. And for those men who prefer action-orientated solutions, might find workshops or personal development courses helpful. Even at Serene Lifestyles now, which is my organization, we run workshops to support people, and these can be one-to-one or in groups. And these often focus on building resilience, managing stress, or improving relationships. And they can provide tools without the pressure of traditional therapy. And lastly, I think self-help books and podcasts on mental health can offer insights and strategies that men can apply in their daily lives. You see, these resources are particularly useful for those who prefer to learn independently. And it's all about education and support, isn't it? And, I think these will be the main ones that I can list at this moment in time. It's important that any man that realizes that there's resources out there, if they've got a positive male role model and who openly expresses themselves and their emotions, this can help shift the perspective and perceptions about emotional vulnerability. And there's a lot of YouTubers that are doing that now.
Belinda, let's take a short commercial break, and after we're back, I do want us to go back to the coping mechanisms that you've mentioned and try to understand a bit more about those ones. So I'll see you shortly after the commercial break.
The station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back with Dr. Belinda Walia. We're discussing men's mental health. Belinda, you were mentioning, you mentioned quite a few times coping mechanisms that might not be healthy that sometimes men choose to use, like overwork or overworking or substance abuse. When is enough enough? How can men identify these behaviors as a problem? When do they become a problem? How a man in his 30s will know that too much drinking is a bit of an issue, or too much work when they're at the peak of their careers, it's not healthy and it's really a coping mechanism for poor mental health? How would they know that?
Generally speaking, I think the first step is helping men recognize when their coping mechanisms are no longer serving them. The signs to watch out for include neglecting their relationship or feeling, and that's even their relationship with themselves. You see, feeling constantly exhausted or relying on those substances that we've spoken about, like alcohol, to get through their day. A good rule of thumb is to ask, is this behavior helping me feel better long term or just masking the problem? It's that self-awareness and building that self-awareness is so important. Once men identify the issue, the next step is, of course, that self-awareness and self-acceptance, and keeping a track of those habits and feelings can help them see those patterns. For example, they might notice they drink more when they're stressed at work, or use overworking to avoid dealing with personal issues. And sadly, I come across this so often within my community, my Indian community, where drinking is so normalized. It's a social interaction. It gives men that sense of belonging. And it's concerning how this has impacted so many, where binge drinking and not knowing when to stop has become an issue. But I think talking about addiction is a whole it's a whole different show, isn't it, Andrea? But yeah. I've come across this where it's so normalized that the best way of coping is to just sit down and have a glass of whatever alcoholic beverage it might be at that time. So going back to your question, I think as a quick tip, I would say replacing unhealthy behaviors with healthier alternatives is key. For example, instead of reaching for, we're talking about substance abuse, instead of reaching for alcohol after a tough day, they could go for a walk or exercise or talk to a friend. And setting small achievable goals, like taking the one evening off work each week, is healthy, and this can also help build healthier habits over time. And seeking that support is also so important. This could mean talking to a trusted friend or family member and joining, again, that support group, or working with a coach or a therapist to develop that personalized plan for change. But it comes down to that self-awareness, doesn't it? You've got to recognize and reflect on what it is that you're doing differently that's impacting not only the people around you, but the way that you're feeling. And that's where I find a lot of men that I've worked with struggle, that identification of what their strengths and weaknesses are.
You mentioned quite a few times alcohol, and I was thinking about workplace culture and the fact that in so many countries, alcohol consumption is very encouraged after working hours. It's a way for people to be social. It's a way of people to bond. It's a way for people to create partnerships, to make business, to seal the deals. So I think it's quite easy to slide in this area of unknown territory. Is it I'm drinking because I'm sociable and because I want to create new partnerships and because it helps my career, or I'm drinking actually because there's no one waiting for me at home, or maybe there is but it's not the right person, or maybe there is but I don't know how to communicate, how to manage the situation at home? So I'm just thinking about, you know, how can workplaces help reduce stigma and encourage open conversations about men and mental health and support, I wouldn't say necessarily eliminate this culture, but still support men's mental health within the working environment? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I think reducing stigma requires creating a culture of openness and acceptance. And friends and family can start by normalizing mental health conversations first. And this might mean sharing their own experiences or checking in with the men in their lives in a non-judgmental way. For example, instead of saying, "You need help," try, "I've noticed you seem stressed. How are you feeling?" You see, I think it's really important to demonstrate that. And in workplaces, leaders can encourage mental health awareness by talking openly about their own challenges and promoting initiatives like employee assistance programs or mental health workshops, and creating a supportive work culture where it's okay to take mental health days or ask for help. This can make such a significant difference. It really can. And public campaigns and media representation also play a role in challenging stereotypes about masculinity. I mean, highlighting stories of men who've successfully sought help or openly shared their struggles can really inspire others to do the same. And ultimately, the goal is to show that seeking support is a sign of strength and not weakness. And I think that's where society has failed in the past, where we've always emphasized that, and where we've always emphasized that masculinity, the misconceptions around it, and that everyone deserves help when they need it. And I think in many workplace cultures, we've got to change those ideas. As you were talking about the normalization of alcohol, we've got to have a different perspective, a different outlook, and understand what is acceptable, what is the best way to demonstrate relaxation and unwinding, and not associate it with alcohol as a stress reliever, you know? It's those kind of things that we've got to change, and building awareness, which is what we're doing by actually having this conversation.
Dr. Walia, a final question. What advice would you give to someone who wants to support a friend, a partner, or a family member struggling with mental health but does not know where to begin?
I think the first thing is make yourself available. And if you demonstrate that practice of emotional awareness and you recognize it within yourself, you can advise others to develop that healthy coping strategies by demonstrating those healthy coping strategies to others that are around you. And it's always important to normalize certain things, recognize that societal expectations about masculinity can be limiting. So challenge those ideas that must the whole idea and concept around men must be strong and stoic, make that person who's around you understand that they should embrace a broader definition of masculinity that includes emotional expression and vulnerability. And again, it's important to learn as well as teach people about mental and emotional intelligence, and understanding these concepts can empower a person to manage their feelings better and support others in their journeys. And again, talk about self-care, demonstrating that self-care, that, and talking about this includes physical activities, hobbies, and relaxation techniques. And self-care is essentially for that mental health and emotional health, and to be able to demonstrate and advise people that developing emotional awareness and coping skills takes time, to be patient with yourself as well as that person they're advising, that they should be patient with themselves, that navigating a journey like this takes small steps before you look at the whole journey. Just remember to just be present, advocating that mental health awareness is really important, challenging those stigmas that we've spoken about, learning to set boundaries is important as well. And again, I think more than anything, embracing that vulnerability, that it's okay to be vulnerable, reassuring the person that is helping, that helping them to understand that it's okay to be vulnerable. And if the person that's helping someone cope, if they share their own feelings and experiences, they can nurture deeper connections with the other person that will be very supportive. And vulnerability is a strength and not a weakness. And I think this misconception has really been the steering wheel of why we have these thoughts and ideas of how men should be in society.
Dr. Walia, thank you very much for taking the time today for sharing your expertise and insights. We hope that this conversation has inspired our listeners to take a step towards better mental health, and why not to take a step to support others. I know your book, Fix Me, How to Manage Anxiety and Take Control of Your Life, is in all bookshops in bookstores in the UK, but also online. So for those of you who do want to check more information about you, where can we find you in the online environment?
Thank you so much for inviting me today. I really appreciate you. And if people wish to connect, I am available on most social media platforms. You can buy my book from any main bookstore. And the best place is Amazon. That's what most people like to do. It's easy and convenient. And you can also find me on LinkedIn or my website, which is www.serenelifestyles.com.
Have a good rest of the day, and hope to speak to you very soon, Dr. Walia.